Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
You're welcome. I am Laura Rankhorn, and we are missing Kim Crumley, who is the other half of Counselor Accents. But we are so excited to have Brian Pecoraro with us. He is a school counselor in Virginia, and he is answering the call today to help us get virtual career fairs off the ground. Brian, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about you?
Sure. I'm not from Virginia, actually. I originally grew up in New York, hence the last name. Not too many big, long Italian names like that down here. And I went to JMU, James Madison University, go Dukes, for undergrad. And I fell in love with Virginia so much that I actually stayed down here where I met my wife. And I kind of, after school, I kind of flip-flopped about what I was doing and what I wanted to do. And school counseling caught my attention. I'd met a couple of school counselors through the community agency I was working for. Really liked it and went back to graduate school to kind of pursue that. But I was getting hired at the time when the bubble burst in 2008, 2009. And so there was no jobs available. There was nothing. Man. And I got a call after I put my name in for a career fair, and they had said, well, we have an opening, it's for a substitute, and take it or leave it. And so obviously I took it.
Yeah.
Which led to that person ended up actually retiring that year, which we didn't know. And so I really was blessed and lucked into that position, and I've been there ever since. That was 11 years ago, if you can believe that.
Wow.
And so then actually I've just been kind of trucking along doing that. And a few years ago, I actually went back to graduate school again to work on my PhD in school counseling. Well, in counseling, but I focus on school counseling. And I'm ABD. So I'm all done with my coursework. I just have to work on my dissertation.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why do people call you Dr. Pecoraro?
Oh, God willing, one day, but.
That is exciting.
You would think with all this time at home, I would have a lot of time to write, but
nope.
It's not happening that way.
Nope. Before we started recording, we talked about our children. And so any of you out there who have children know that this at-home situation where you think, oh, we have so much time, it's like my time has shrunk. Like I have less time, it feels like.
Right. And where is all this laundry coming from? Like what are they, the kids wearing the same shirt 3 days in a row? Like what's happening?
So true. Oh my goodness. Well, I found Brian because he was talking about a virtual career fair that he does. And Brian, you've presented this in your state. Is that correct?
That's correct. I presented at the Virginia School Counseling Association Conference.
So you were doing virtual career fairs before virtual career fairs were a have to.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. My principal is one of those people who's very into new ideas, but doesn't necessarily know always how to do it. And so she came to me one day and was like, you know, I want to do it this way this year. I'm like, okay, great. How do we do that? She's like, I trust you'll figure it out.
Oh, wow. So she cast the vision and you make it happen, huh?
Yeah. And that was before Google Meets was really a thing. That was before Zoom had even taken off. I mean, it was,
wow.
Yeah, it was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in the beginning.
Well, I'm curious, since it was before Google Meet and before Zoom took off, what did you do?
So I met with our IT guy, and he was really excited about it too. And keep in mind, this was not to take the place of an actual career day or a career fair. It was more about supplementing it. Like, how can we make this different? How can we see people in their actual, like, quote unquote, natural habitat at work?
Yeah.
And I was excited. I was at the building till 10 o'clock that night, setting up everyone's computers and the boards. And then I tested it and everything worked fine. And then the next day, nothing happened. Nothing worked. Nothing went through. And I called up IT and I was like, what happened? You know, what went wrong? And then it took us about a week and a half to figure out that our school had a firewall up against any Google sites like that.
Oh my goodness.
So, as you can imagine, that didn't go over well with a lot of people.
Oh.
And I took my lumps, for sure. But, you know, I worked on it for the next couple weeks and figured out what the problem was and how we can work around it. And then, of course, like, you know, like everything does, the next year, our schools went from no Google to being Google schools. So everything in Google was accessible, everything was fine, and I tested, double, triple tested everything, and this time finally got it to work, and we went off without a hitch, and it was a success.
Wow. Well, that is a prime example of growth mindset and learning from what didn't work to make it even better.
Right, and crying with the lights off, too. There's a lot of that.
It takes that sometimes.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I didn't know your background with virtual career fairs. So I feel like even more so, we have the specialist on virtual career fairs with us. Oh, so I'm even more excited to get going. But one thing you said was seeing people in their natural habitat. And I think that's so important for virtual career fairs because we can tell people what we do, but letting students experience it and see, okay, I'm a vet and here I'm about to do an exam on a cat or something.
Right.
That's a totally different experience. So it kind of makes it come alive.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the bigger part too is getting parents whose profession, like if they're just talking about their profession, might not interest kids right away.
Yeah.
But to see it like live and in person totally blows up their experience with it.
That is so interesting and exciting. For students, exciting for teachers. So now that you are a pro at this, what format are you using now?
So I've stuck with Google Meet, or okay. I used to be Google Hangout. Now it's Google.
Yeah.
I've stuck with that only because of just how easy it is to use. You know what I mean? It's pretty simple. You send the link out. You just make sure it's accessible to everybody in the settings menu. You just change it over to, you know, everyone with the link is allowed to join. And then, you know, my experience, that's 25 classrooms are logging in at the same time. So you 25 classrooms times approximately 18, 19 students, you know, you have almost 400, you know, between 350 and 400 kids watching this one person kind of do their thing at their job.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Now with the COVID-19 and everything going on and, you know, you run into a couple of dilemmas, technology and ethical on top of that. You know, I mean, there's an equity problem by saying, all right, everyone, we're doing career day on this day at this time. Make sure you log in or you miss it type thing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to navigate that currently with my own school, and I'm working on either doing it where it's I'm going to have them record themselves in video and then I'll kind of, you know, string it all together. Or I might do it kind of like how you're doing it, where I'll just do it live and then I'll record it and then just make it available for the school to use how they can.
Okay. Yeah, I'm really glad you brought up the whole equity thing because that's been a big issue in everything that we're doing right now. So that brings up a whole other point that I hadn't thought about with the career fair. So that's a good point. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, I worry about those students too, because there are students whose parents are essential and they are working. And so, you know, there are still students in daycare not being able to access everything. We do, even though I do work in a fairly affluent county, there are still students that don't have internet access or have spotty internet access. It's very rural out here.
Yeah.
And so we're just trying to work it so that we can get as many students as possible, at least, you know, congregated around what they, you know, doing the activities that all the specialists are giving out.
Yeah. So this is going to be a two-part question.
Sure.
Whenever you are sitting down to plan your career fair, your virtual career fair, let's talk about what you would do if you were in school, and let's talk about how you would organize it now. How do you gauge student interest level? How do you organize your speakers?
So I won't lie to you, and I don't know, you know, who yourself and people who listen to your podcast have had troubles with. I often have trouble getting volunteers
okay.
for career day. And for whatever reason that might be, it might be getting the time off, getting it's work. It's a lot of work to put in. And sometimes the timing just doesn't work out. You know, schools start different times than their jobs do. So they would, it's not like just taking an hour off of work. You're taking 3 or 4 hours off. And at that point, is it really worth it? So I start planning 6 weeks out typically.
Okay.
I just put out a general letter to all the parents of my school and I say, you know, here's what we're thinking about. Would you be willing to volunteer? And so if you figure we have 500 students, I usually in a week's time, I get about 5 responses back.
Are you serious?
Couldn't be more serious. And again, and I don't know what the reasoning is behind that. It's I don't get a lot of response time back. So that's when I have to start working the phones a little bit. And I start calling the community, you know, the community people, community leaders. I always see if I can get the fire department in, police department. There's some local business owners that I think their kind of career aspects translate well to children. And then I start calling in favors from college friends who, you know, who are essentially like, yeah, I'm down. Let's do it. We'll figure it out. Let's make it happen. And I just start setting it up from there. And again, the good thing about doing it virtually is that I don't need 30 volunteers this time around. I need less than 10 to really make it viable. And then the next move is, you know, I kind of get the pulse about what kids want. And let's be honest, if you work in elementary school, you know, you're going to hear doctor, scientist, veterinarian, YouTuber, and gamer.
Yeah.
And you're going to hear those, plus and a few more here or there scattered, but that's the generally what I hear. I'm lucky enough to know somebody who does gaming for a living.
Oh, wow.
So I actually had him come in. He's a professor at the local university where I live. And he started the esports program at his college.
Oh my goodness.
And again, sometimes you just luck into things. And so I had him video conference us all in to the gaming lab. And I'm going to use lab in quotes, but gaming lab. And it was super cool to watch them and kind of learn like what the programs the university has in order to have a career in gaming, which, I mean, that excited students beyond belief.
Oh, like, yeah.
It was crazy. One of my best friends growing up in New York, she works as a marketing executive at Amazon. So she was able to conference at the Amazon bubble in Seattle and kind of showed us around and talked about her role and how all the things that Amazon's doing for people.
Oh, wow.
not just, you know, the sales and everything too, but like all the marketing and all that.
That is so interesting. That hearing about the gaming, the professor that does the gaming, that gave me chills because that is such a big deal for students right now, the YouTubing and the gaming. And if anybody who's ever listened to us speak, they know that that's one of our hot buttons because I don't know how it is there, but a lot of teachers down here, whenever students say, I want to be a YouTuber or I want to be a gamer, they say, okay, pick a real career.
Right. Exactly.
And there's a quote by Gary Vaynerchuk, and he says, that mentality shows a total lack of understanding of the world that we live in, because those are very real possibilities for students now when they
absolutely
before.
And I mean, and high schools are kind of jumping on board too. A lot of these high schools now are having esports teams.
Wow. Where
they're playing these as extracurricular activities, and there's actually cash prizes for winning teams because they're sponsored.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's becoming a big deal. And I say esports, I mean, that could be anything from video games to even like drone racing and even stuff I probably don't even know about yet.
You are blowing my mind right now. That is incredible. I'm going to have to make a note and look into that because that's huge.
Yeah, and I can definitely put you in touch with the professor who does that, because he's into kind of like spreading the word, and he more than happy to talk to you, either
absolutely
virtually or otherwise.
I would love that. Yeah. Okay, so you answered one of my questions about how far in advance do you start letting people know. You said you work about 6 weeks out.
Yeah.
So where were you when all of this school closures, when that happened?
I was literally in my principal's office planning a date. I'm like, all right, when can we see this doing? When can we see us doing this? It's, you know, in our school, there's a lot of kind of things to navigate. I'm sure like in any school, there's field trips to navigate, and there's, you know, what specials can they miss? You know, how many, you know, the younger grades versus the older grades, is kindergarten going to get a fair shot versus, you know, 1 through 5, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to kind of navigate all of those obstacles. And we were probably hoping to plan something for, you know, late April, early May, because SOLs, we have our testing that starts in mid-May.
Okay.
So we kind of do it as like a, you know, like a breather, like, you know, they're getting ready for all their tests. And so we kind of do this. everyone calm down, let's take a break, let's listen to some people talk about jobs and careers, and then we'll get back into it.
Okay. So you were in the process of setting a date, and then all this happened and changed everything.
Changed everything. I mean, and honestly, it had to take a little bit of a back burner because we're all doing now virtual learning. And where you are, I'm not sure how it works, but in Virginia, you know, elementary counselors teach character development lessons. Uh-huh. And so that's what the main focus has been, is how can we get these lessons out to the students? And again, in an equitable fashion, too.
Right.
You know, is everyone getting them? Do we need to put them in paper pencil form? Can people do it virtually? You know, and how can we stretch these Google resources?
Right. Yeah, it's definitely presented some challenges. So let's pretend like we're talking to somebody who is starting at just the ground level on this and thinks, how do I even get this going? What advice would you give them on what the first step would be, second step? How would you walk them through getting this going?
I would say keep it simple. I didn't keep it simple my very first go, and it was a train wreck. And so now, I mean, I can kind of play with it, and I can get a little more advanced. I can have multiple speakers talking at the same time to different grade levels, things like that. But keep it simple. Instead of offering multiple channels, offer just one link and assign people times.
Okay.
And, you know, and if you start from one end and you just work your way through, all right, from 8 to 8:30, we have Mr. Smith. And from 8:30 to 9, we have Mrs. Jones. And just try to vary the careers and professions as much as you can so the students are getting a wide variety.
Okay.
There's only so much, you know, I mean, listen, there's a lot of law enforcement. There's a lot of firefighters. There's a lot of government workers. But I try to get at least something that's a little outside the box in there, too. So for those students where that's not their, you know, maybe school isn't always their bag all the time, or,
right,
you know, law enforcement is just not in the cards for them.
Okay, good. So you choose a variety. And
yeah.
You were talking about, you said something about a link. So if someone has no idea how to get going with Google Meet, you create a link for those students to log in and watch from this time to this time?
Yeah. So when you go to Google, and hopefully a lot of your schools have a subscription with the Google Suite, but you could do it without it too. You just got to, hold on one second. You create the link and then you send it out to the teachers. And then in this case, during our quarantine time, you would send it out to the students.
Uh-huh.
And just get each speaker on board for a different time. So you would do a mass email to all your teachers and your presenters and say, here's the schedule. Everyone log in at this time. If you're interested in this and this person, log in at this time for this person, et cetera.
Okay.
It sounds a little complicated if you're not familiar with it, but I mean, if you just go to Google and go Google, like Google Meet meeting, and just click on the link, I mean, it's super easy to set up from there.
Okay. So then choose the speakers and assign the times. That would be what you would tell them to do. And you said start simple. I think that's really good. And choose a variety.
If you can. I mean, if you have that option.
Yeah.
In the past, I'm going to be honest, I haven't had that option. I had to kind of work with what I was given.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, those jobs don't always translate to the students. And so that's why even those jobs are better virtually, because at least they can get an idea of what they're working with.
Right. How much time do you give each speaker?
I give them about 20 to 25 minutes with a 5-minute Q&A.
Okay. Okay. So that's good. So every speaker gets their own question and answer time, and then they go back to their job.
Right. And so instead of having to take off 3-4 hours, it's only 30 minutes of their time.
Yeah.
And it's done right through, again, probably right at their desk most of the time.
Yeah, that was the thing that attracted us to a virtual career fair. We are asking people to give up pretty much half a day of work time to come to our school and have students rotate, and they may or may not get to talk to the person that they're the most interested in learning about.
Right.
But this gives them, talking about equitable access, they have access to everybody. During formats like this. In a regular school year, they would. This is a little bit different. But you mentioned having the gamer and the Amazon, what other unique careers have you showcased?
I had a cancer researcher on, and again, another buddy of mine from New York. And that is his passion. His cancer runs in his family. And so he works for a company that sets up the testing for cancer cells. And he was in the lab. So he just kind of took the video and showed us the laboratory. And sometimes the visual, I mean, again, a picture is worth 1,000 words.
Yeah.
Because he could talk about all the science in the world, but if the kids aren't seeing the tests, you know, the beakers and the fridges and the petri dishes and all that, it doesn't really mean much.
Yeah.
Right. I had a photographer on, and at the time he was in location in Brazil.
Oh my goodness.
And he was in a treehouse nonetheless, of course. And so he was showing us like the treehouse location in which he was, I don't know exactly where he was, but it was kind of this treehouse set up in like this mangrove forest along the beach somewhere. So he was showing us the site there. This specific photographer typically is actually, he's based out of New York City, but he also, he follows musicians sometimes around. Mm-hmm. So he gets to tour with them and take pictures and kind of document that. So that was kind of cool.
That is. I bet the kids went nuts seeing him in the treehouse and out in Brazil.
Well, they did, but the one of the kids, a kindergartner nonetheless, and it was a brilliant question. He goes, how many pictures have you taken in your life? And he sat there and he thought, he goes, I've taken over 2 million pictures.
Wow.
And if you think about, I mean, even think about like going through your phone and just, you know, doing the roll, you might have like 1,000 pictures over the past 5 or 6 years. Uh-huh. He's taken 2 million pictures.
Wow. And that's such a good question too, to expound on, thinking about, we take 2 million pictures, or he's taken 2 million pictures. How many of those has he used? And so sometimes
not even close to any.
Right. And so it takes a lot of practice to get that one shot. And so such a great opportunity to talk about, not that those 2 million were a mistake, but just to talk about how we learn from our mistakes and grow from that.
Yeah. There was another cool one too. We had somebody who works at a quarry. He does sales at a quarry. So I didn't know how that was going to look necessarily, but when he was doing it virtually, he was able to show the kids all the equipment, and he did this really cool experiment. He goes, see that truck behind me? And the kids said, you know, yeah, it looks kind of small from here, doesn't it? Oh yeah, it looks really small. But then it was a perspective experiment. So he backed up. And it turns out the tire was bigger than he was.
Oh my goodness.
By the time he got back to the truck, and showing us just, you know, how we take things like rock for granted, but it has so many uses, whether it's at home or in science or anything like that.
Yeah. And it's got to come from somewhere. We don't think about that. It's just, it's everywhere, but we don't think about where does it actually come from.
Yeah. And he took us to the machine that crushes all like the granite up and everything and showed it. I mean, it was amazing.
That is amazing. And that's a career that I wouldn't have ever thought of. Right. So you are really stretching my thinking into, okay, who can I talk to? And the great thing, I think, especially about where we are right now, most of us are sitting at home all day, every day. And this is a great time to talk to people about their careers or set these things up, you know, put the feelers out there and see who would be interested.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'd be surprised who'll step up to the plate and say, yeah, I can do it. And it might take some finagling sometimes, because a lot of times people who are doing their jobs every day, day in and day out, they don't really necessarily think about some of the fun aspects or the cool aspects of what they do. And I always try to have them put like a math or a science spin on it too, just to make sure that the students understand that there is a connection to what they're doing right now to like anything.
That's so good. So you're helping the math teacher and the science teacher and everybody when you do this.
Yeah, absolutely.
What is your grade level?
I'm K through 5.
Okay. Do you have any problems telling the people in these different careers, like getting them to realize the importance of teaching even kindergartners about careers?
No, most people who come in understand that it's important to get them kind of interested early, because if you lose them early on, then, you know, once middle school and high school comes, then you really lost them.
Right.
And I always try to tell the students too, like, you're learning about jobs that exist right now, but imagine 10 years from now, 20 years from now, when you're joining the career field, there are things that don't even exist yet. And then what I always do, and it makes them like ooh and ah, is I take out my cell phone and say,
yes,
when I was in your grade, this didn't exist. And they're like, yeah, what? That doesn't even make sense. And
yeah, I do a class. I read a book to my fourth graders, and we talked about in it. It's set in the 90s, the book, and it talks about the bag cell phones.
Yeah.
And I remember those, but one of the students said, oh, that's what they had back on Little House on the Prairie. And I'm like, not quite, but close.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so true. And that's one of the things that Kim and I always talk about is 20 years ago, we couldn't imagine our cell phones doing all of the jobs that it does, but it's eliminated a lot of other tools. And the same is true with some of the jobs. We can't imagine some jobs not being around, or some jobs that haven't been created, but the truth is things progress. And so it is important. We talk about, I just posted on Twitter this morning that creativity is the number one in-demand job skill, according to a survey done by LinkedIn. So we have to start teaching those skills of creativity and innovation and things like that. But virtual career fairs definitely get students' brains turning, and this exposes them to things that they hadn't considered before.
Right. And like I said, it not just that, but it also kind of like, it gets them excited about it. You know, it gets them excited to think about like, ooh, I could do that outside of the realm of how much do you make?
Right. Yeah. Do you do anything with colleges or tech schools or anything like that?
So I want to, and I've tried to. Unfortunately, for me, and the way kind of my cluster works, that would be stepping on the toes of the middle and high schools.
Okay.
And so I've kind of backed off of some of that a little bit.
Yeah.
Actually, this year was the first year my county has this brand new facility that does kind of their tech programs. And this is the past couple of years is when they finally opened it up to elementary students to go and see. And so our field trip was scheduled for last week, unfortunately. Aww. So that was like my goal too, because I definitely have a few fifth graders I could think of right now who they're going to go through school just because they have to, not because they're interested in anything. And those tech programs really would have been an eye-opening, like, ooh, if I focus and I get my attention in order, I can really do something that I want to do.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a wonderful tech program where Kim and I are. And I'm thinking, why don't more people do this? Because it's a great way. I mean, you said yourself that you went through college, and I majored in business administration, not school counseling, and just kind of felt my way through life thinking, I don't know what I want to do.
Right.
And then landed on school counseling, and I was like, this is what I was meant to do. But if I could have had hands-on practice with other careers, then I could have at least ruled things out or known exactly what direction to go.
Well, exactly. And think about the push. And I'm pro technology all day long. You know what I mean? I use technology in my lessons. I use it in connections with people. But for kids to be able to get their hands on something and to learn about, like, to understand, like, oh, maybe I do want to build stuff. Maybe I do want to fix cars. Maybe I do, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That experience is by far leaps and bounds better than just, you know, seeing it
Right.
or reading about it somewhere.
Yeah. Well, what other advice have I not asked you that you think would come in handy for someone starting a virtual career fair?
The only thing I could think of is, you know, don't be afraid to make a few phone calls and ask parents for help. You know what I mean? As school counselors, we're helping students and parents and teachers navigate things all the time. Mm-hmm. It's okay to ask for help ourselves and say, you know, if you're looking for something specific, hey, does anyone know a nurse I could reach out to? Does anyone know somebody in this science field that I could reach out to? And the opposite's true too. Like, you know, make a few parent phone calls and say, hey, I remember like little Johnny said that you do this as your job. Is that something you'd be interested in helping out with for a virtual career day? And just kind of walking them through the steps. I just need 20 to 25 minutes, and it would be really great if you could answer some questions at the end, and that would be the end of it. And a lot of times parents will surprise you and really step up.
Yeah. And I think now is a great time to ask, because this appreciation for teachers and the education system has really grown as parents are trying to balance homeschooling and having their kids at home 24/7.
Right.
So I think right now people are wanting to do anything they can to help out education. So
yeah, absolutely. And even if technology is kind of, even if it's scary, and I know it is, there's some even stuff that I don't like using because it's like, oh, it's one more thing to learn.
Yeah.
Just ask for videos from parents. You know what I mean? Like, good. Just send an email out, have them record themselves doing something, or that's not that hard to do at all. And then you could just send out links to those things from maybe a Google Doc or a Google site that you have. Or even if you save the videos on your computer, just put them in like a Dropbox account. And then that way you just send out the link and then people can just watch it on their own time. And that way you don't have to worry about like editing videos together or synchronous timing and, you know, internet usage falling off, anything like that.
Yeah, that is so good. That's such a good thought too. And that's a great way, if somebody is just trying to get going in this, that may be a good way to dip your toe in and get your feet wet.
Right.
And then next year when we're back, then jump in all the way.
Absolutely. Because like I said, I jumped in both feet that first year and it was a colossal crash and burn. So.
Well, and I don't know about you, but sometimes, especially with my students, I'll tell them, listen, y'all are about to be my guinea pigs. This may work. This may not work. And that's sort of endearing. People, then they want you to succeed. They want it to work. But then they're also prepared if it doesn't work. And they have a little bit more grace, maybe.
I do that with new lessons, too. When I do a lesson, I'll say, on top of your exit ticket, I need you to tell me, what do we think about that lesson on a scale from 1 to 5?
And they'll tell you.
Oh, they'll tell you. Yeah, I didn't really like that one. I'm like, all right, well, I'll stop.
Yeah.
Just won't do it anymore.
Well, I hate that Kim has missed this because this is right up her alley. And she's going to be so upset when she listens to this and realizes that I got to hog the whole show.
So. Yeah, I feel bad. I mean, I was looking forward to kind of meeting both of you. I was really excited about it.
Well, I think that you have enough going on that we will be contacting you again, because it sounds like you just have you have it going on there in Virginia. And we say this, we have met the best people through doing this, and you are one of those great people that we get to add to our list that we've met.
Oh,
and we just, so I can see us working together again if you're up for it.
I would love it.
Good. Good. Well, Brian, Dr. Pecoraro, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for you being with me today. And we'll be creating a blog to go with this. So we will put some links to some of these things that you mentioned.
Sure, yeah.
And we'll put a link to your presentation too, if you're okay with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I might just have to send you, I have it like in a Dropbox account, so it'd be easy just to send you that link, and that way people can access it whenever they want.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, thank you very much for sharing your wisdom with us today.
Oh, it was so much fun. Thank you for having me.
Good.